With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I just posted the kielbasa recipe for those of you who are looking for an easy peasy, popular, tasty dish at this weekend's football parties. Where else do you get this in sports radio? Not only do we talk about football games, not only do I share embarrassing stories about myself, because what's the point of embarrassing stories if you don't make other people laugh, but I also give you recipes. For those of you who would like to try my chili recipe, I can even retweet the blog post where I spelled it all out for you. What do you need this weekend? Is it kielbasa? Is it chili? I've even shared a guacamole recipe with you in the past.
That's awesome.
For now, it's kielbasa, and it's super easy. It's three ingredients. That's it, I promise. Throw them into a crock pot. I've never cooked it without the crock pot, only because you can leave it for 3 to 4 hours and walk away. But the guys will tell you the crock pot travels well. Just plug it in at work or at the party where you're attending, and it will be a big hit. And people will want to know, what did you put in that crock pot? But you don't tell them. You keep the ingredients a secret and you'd make them guess. So the first time I brought in kielbasa, this was back when Tom was producing, it took him 3 hours. And Tom's a foodie. He's an Italian guy, loves to cook. It took him 3 hours to figure out one of the ingredients, and he couldn't come up with the second. Because who puts grape jelly and cocktail sauce in a crock pot together? No one but my family. Half Italian, half Polish. We've got all the food genes. So the recipe is posted. I want you to try it this weekend for football, or you can save it if you like for your Super Bowl party. But then I need to know. I need you to send me a food review and let me know how it turns out and how popular it was. Do you know the horseradish dip recipe that I make, I whip up? I take that to all the parties that I go to, and people rave about it. And many of you have tried it and told me that you were a big hit at a party or a family gathering. So my goal is to make you look good and to feed the world, of course. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let me dial that back. To feed all sports fans, because I know not the whole world is listening to my show. Let's be realistic here. But I want sports fans to be well-fed and to be creative with their food. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So the kielbasa recipe with its three ingredients is up on Twitter now, A-Law Radio. I promise. Next break, I will also put it on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And you already have a reason to go to both of our social media sites, because we've got our weekly poll. Do you know there's only one more week of this? After this Friday, we do this every week during the football season. What's the game you're most looking forward to? Well, we're not going to ask you that about Super Bowl week, because there's only one game, so that would make for a really disappointing poll. And so we've just got one more week in which there's multiple games. At some point, I'll start to get the shakes over the fact that football's nearly done. But I'll also be honest. It'll be nice to have my Sundays back. I'm okay with football taking a breather for a few months so that I can catch my breath. But yeah, only two wins away from heading to the Super Bowl are now these teams playing this divisional round. And of course, it's a CBS Super Bowl, and we've got a big game on CBS this weekend. The New England Patriots, led by the legendary Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, and the Los Angeles Chargers, they could also punch their ticket to the AFC Championship game for the first time in over a decade. The action kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks, at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, Sunday, home of Super Bowl 53. Whoop! So that's just one of the games. What's the one you're most looking forward to this weekend in the NFL? And we've also thrown in another one of our fun questions. We love to do this. We like to confound the listeners and cause great debate. Plus, I enjoy being the devil's advocate and stirring the pot and giving you other answers that maybe you never thought of. Who is America's team? Our guest from Cleveland, Daryl Ryder, who covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan, that's our affiliate in Cleveland, says that the Browns are now America's team. The Cowboys might have something to say about that, but is there another America's team from a different sport? The champs get pretty popular because in America, we love winners. We love winners. That's where the term bandwagon jumper came from. Bandwagon fans don't jump onto a bandwagon for a losing team. Nope. They follow the winners. So the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl in a really long time. In fact, their playoff record is not all that impressive over the last decade. Tony Romo may be more popular now that he's in a broadcast booth than he was when he was a quarterback. If it's not the Cowboys, and there's really no right answer to this question, which is why it's a good debate. It's wide open. If not the Cowboys, who is America's team? I feel like hockey would be, it'd be hard to find a candidate. Though the Washington Capitals or the Vegas Golden Knights, maybe you could make a case. But the problem is hockey's not nearly as popular with the casual sports fan as it is, as the other sports are. Could we make a case for the Golden State Warriors? 3 titles in 4 years? And they've got some of the most recognizable athletes on the planet. Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, these guys go overseas and they're mobbed by fans. The NBA is a global game. Is the NFL a global game? No, it's not. Now, does that factor in when it comes to America's team? No, but in terms of popularity, I think you could argue the Golden State Warriors have a larger fan base right now than any single NFL team. I might make that argument. So is it the Warriors? Is there a baseball team that you could say is America's team? The Yankees haven't won in a while, but they still make waves and headlines everywhere they go. And as some of you are pointing out, when these teams go on the road, they draw enormous attention and interest. So one of the qualifications of being America's team would be that everywhere you go, there are pockets of fans. So if not the Dallas Cowboys, then who is America's team? I think another qualification for being America's team is that everybody has an opinion about that team. It doesn't necessarily have to be love or hate, but everyone has an opinion about that particular team. Why? Well, because we know about that team. We're familiar with that team. If I ask you right now, we'll just say 10 fans. Actually, it probably doesn't even need to be fans. If you're thinking outside the sports world, let's say we go to 10 men and women on the street and we ask them for an opinion about the Cincinnati Reds. I would say maybe 1 or 2 would have an opinion about the Cincinnati Reds. The idea behind America's team is familiarity. Even if you don't know every guy that plays at every position, you have an opinion about that team because their Q rating is really high. They get a lot of traffic on social media. They get a lot of attention no matter what they do. So a lot of you are sending tweets already, which I like. A-Law Radio to find me on Twitter. Our Facebook page, too. While you're there, you've got, of course, our football poll, the game you're most looking forward to. And you can also check out that kielbasa recipe if you're looking for something to take or make this weekend. As we've got 4 games, 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. Love this weekend. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Again, 855-212-4CBS. We had the opportunity to dive a little bit into the lack or the shrinking percentage of minority head coaches in the NFL. We did that on last night's show. Depending on what happens in Cincinnati and Miami, we could be down to just a handful of black head coaches. Right now, there are only 2 because there were 5 who were let go this season. And I'm not making any type of a statement about why, only telling you the facts. Todd Bowles, Vance Joseph, Marvin Lewis. Shoot, I knew I was going to do this and I was going to forget some of the ones who were let go. Tell me who the other two are. Hugh Jackson in Cleveland. That was during the season. And then there's one more that I'm in. Steve Wilks. And so those are the five that ended up getting fired this year of the eight. Now, that in and of itself is not racism. I'm not suggesting that they were fired because they're black. And Marvin Lewis had a long time in his position. So you can't look at the Cincinnati Bengals and say they wouldn't commit to a black head coach or that his race had anything at all to do with it. Hugh Jackson got, I think, a pretty fair shake in Cleveland before they had to make a change. Now, I don't know that I would have done it in the middle of the season, but he had an opportunity. The Vance Joseph, Steve Wilks, those still kind of bother me, especially the Steve Wilks in Arizona. That one really bothers me. I don't think a year is long enough to establish your program, let alone turn around a freight train that's speeding the opposite direction. In the case of the Cardinals, the wrong direction. And so when you think about just the names who were fired, and now we're down to two of 32 in the NFL. And as it turns out, the six who've been hired are all white. And we kind of talked about the fact that most offensive coordinators in the NFL and the majority of quarterbacks are white, which then would stand to reason that those quarterbacks and guys on the offensive side of the ball, if they want to become coaches, they would be on the offensive side of the ball, which is then feeding this new round of hirings, right? Because that's the trend. And so I thought it was interesting to hear what longtime Raiders executive and CBS NFL analyst Amy Trask had to say about the Rooney Rule and how it's being implemented in this particular round of coaching hires.
I think some teams follow it. The spirit of it. I think some teams don't follow the spirit. They may try to check boxes, but they don't embrace the spirit of the rule. I think it's tragic that in this day and age there actually needs to be a rule to do what's right. Look, I had the tremendous, tremendous privilege of working for Al Davis and now working for Ice Cube, and men that hire without regard to race, gender, ethnicity, religion, or any other individuality, which has no bearing whatsoever on whether someone can do a job. And I will say as to these teams, the same thing I say as to business in general. If there is such a thing as business Darwinism, organizations that don't hire without regard to those individualities that have no bearing on whether one will succeed or not, deserve to fail, because by definition, they're eliminating vast swaths of very qualified people.
Amy Trask on Writer Than You on Thursday afternoon on CBS Sports Radio. So I agree with her. It's unfortunate that there needs to be a rule. And sometimes I get annoyed with the rule because I feel like it fosters false hope among candidates. And I hate the fact that some teams only interview candidates who are minorities because they have to. That makes me so angry. I believe it should be based on merit. And we're not going to have the whole conversation. It's a political conversation as much as it is a social issue when it comes to quotas. Every big company has them, like it or not, fair or unfair. And there are casualties of quotas and EOE stipulations and all of that. I mean, that's corporate America. And so there's a lot about it that makes me angry. But in the case of the NFL, when we're talking about this microcosm that is the NFL, I agree with Amy. It sucks that there has to be a rule. I appreciate that the NFL wants to make it a rule and wants to make sure that minority candidates get the same shake. But is it also just ceremonial? If it's ceremonial, why bother? Except that you never know, right? If a black candidate is only getting an interview because of the Rooney Rule, but he goes in there and he kills it, he goes in there and he blows away the potential employers and then gets a job, but he only got the interview because of the Rooney Rule, isn't that still a benefit? isn't the rule then still working? So there are no easy answers. I don't have an easy fix. I'm not sitting here in this chair telling you this is how you make it better. I don't know how you make it better. And I even stopped short of calling it racism. Because I don't think there are owners out there who are saying, I refuse to hire a black head coach. And if there is one, he is in the minority or she is in the minority. That's not, I refuse to believe that that is the opinion of all of the NFL owners or NBA owners or just the majority of sports owners. I'm sure there are some that are racist because that's real life. There will always be racism until Jesus comes back. But for now, I just refuse to believe that that's how people hire the majority of the way across the board. Everybody wants to win. And so as Amy said, if you limit yourself to coaching candidates or employees from one race, well, then you're cutting off your own nose to spite your face, because color doesn't have a whole lot to do with qualities. A lot of times it has to do with opportunities, but it doesn't have anything to do with your mind, your heart, your work ethic, your background, your experience, your desire to learn. Those things are human to human, not color to color. And so I go back and forth about the Rooney Rule, but I do appreciate Amy and the fact that she's worked for guys like Al Davis and now Ice Cube with the 3-on-3 league, and that she brings a positive voice, but also one that is willing to ask the tough questions. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Your candidates for America's team, some of them are making me giggle. But we'll go through that. Who is America's team right now if it's not the Dallas Cowboys? Twitter, Facebook, and then our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Prescott under center. Prescott gonna sneak. Prescott hit, diving into the goal line. No signal yet. Dak Prescott is in for the touchdown. There's the signal, and that might be the thing that puts Dallas into the playoffs. Round two, that is.
Goff breaks the huddle. He's under center. Takes a quick snap. Gives left side Gurley. Follows his block through the hole to the five. To the goal line. Touchdown, Todd Gurley. Touchdown, LA. On the second drive of the night for the Rams, they go down the field 80 yards, and it's capped by Todd Gurley's 20th touchdown of 2018.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's one of the matchups this weekend. Divisional round takes us to LA. The Rams had the bye. They were the number two seed in the NFC. As you hear with J.B. Long on the Rams Radio Network, Todd Gurley, a formidable foe. He was not a full participant in practice all week, but is reportedly going to be able to play against the Dallas Cowboys. Kevin Kugler with the call of that late touchdown by Dak Prescott. What a brilliant drive engineered by the Cowboys QB as they were attempting to hold off the Seahawks in Dallas last Saturday night. That will be your Saturday night game from Los Angeles. And so looking forward to this one. Is it the game you're most looking forward to, though? Ezekiel Elliott had a huge performance against the Seahawks. It'll be critical to establish the run with the ball control for the Cowboys, trying to keep that football away from Jared Goff and the Rams. And the most popular man on the planet, Sean McVay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can I tell you something? This is the God's honest truth. I laughed out loud when I saw the latest potential coaching hire. You know, there are only two jobs left. Did you know Zach Taylor? Anybody know who Zach Taylor is? Just raise your hand if you know who Zach Taylor is. He's the Rams quarterback coach. A couple years ago, he was the offensive coordinator for the University of Cincinnati. So at least there's a tie to the city. And it looks like he may become the Bengals' next head coach. Are you kidding me? How many guys with ties to Sean McVay just got head coaching jobs in the NFL? Zach Taylor was the OC going back to the Dolphins. He was handed play calling duties in 2015 as they were going through a transition. Former offensive coordinator for the University of Cincinnati spent the last two seasons, or is still with the Rams right now as their quarterbacks coach. He's not even an OC. Nope. No head coaching experience. He could be the next head coach of the Bengals. Oh my gosh. It's almost become comical. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Who is America's team? David is listening in Lorain, Ohio. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, okay, so I wanted to touch on America's team. In my opinion, with their dominance over, you know, quite a long period of time, I'm going to have to lean with the Patriots. You know, with Brady, you know, looking, you know, like he's going to cement a legacy as being one of the, you know, if not number one, probably number two quarterback of all time. I've got to lean with them. Bill Belichick, I think we can safely say is going to go down as the greatest coach in NFL history. I think he's already attained it, but I would go with the Patriots. I did want to touch on, you had mentioned about Golden State and the global appeal with all the talent on that team. As far as being America's team, you know, I just can't see America being, you know, like a bandwagon type, you know, with the way they got KD. And, you know, I think it was pretty clear, you know, Cleveland took them six games that first go around if either Kyrie or Kevin Love was available for
it. Well, it doesn't matter. They won. How many people do you think go back and think, okay, they weren't very good. They didn't actually win in four games. They did just sweep the last series. And I think winning three titles in 4 years, Americans are naturally drawn to winners. So I'm going to disagree with you about the bandwagon thing. Their fan base has swelled in astronomical proportions over the last several years. And Steph Curry has a huge, huge role in that. He is so popular. And I agree with you about KD. He's one of the villains in sports that really popular to hate right now. But I think Steph Curry kind of overcomes that. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they're America's team or not. I know that they're very outspoken politically, which, as we know, can sometimes turn fans the opposite direction. Not every team is outspoken politically. I don't know that you could say they represent all Americans. I just know that I could make a case for them as right now, having all the qualities that you need to have to be a team that could carry that moniker, that label.
Right. I'll say this. I mean, their dominance, we're probably never going to see anything like that in our lifetime. But, I mean, they had a 73-win team and added, you know, probably the best scorer in quite some time, you know, to overcome, you know, LeBron. I mean, that's the facts. And there's no getting around that. But, I mean, yes, the global appeal is there. Steph Curry's probably, what, number one in jersey sales. And I understand what you're saying. But as far as America's team, I think that's probably a stretch.
All right. Well, you know? I think you could say the same thing about the Patriots in that, A, they've had a ton of bandwagon fans, people who never would have cheered for the Patriots if not for their dominance over the last decade and a half. But also the fact that they've got a Tom Brady who has mass appeal, like a Steph Curry, and the fact that right now everybody has an opinion. So as much as you're talking about, you know, the Golden State Warriors, they're villains. How about the Patriots? The Patriots are villainized and called cheaters every time I bring them up by, you know, half the people who are listening. So all the things you're saying about the Golden State Warriors, I could say about the Patriots as well. But that's why I think it's a great argument. David, thank you so much for your phone call. Good to talk to you in Lorain, Ohio. 855-212-4227. Do you guys remember last year before the sweep? So going into the sweep in the NBA Finals, which, let's be honest, that was relatively boring. I mean, I wasn't even on the air the night they clinched game four, and I was really happy. It was a Friday night, and I was glad I didn't have to go on the air and talk about it because there was nothing left to say. But you all know going into that, more than half their games were on national television a year ago. The NBA doesn't do that if they don't produce ratings. They do. They're a major draw, as are the Cowboys when it comes to TV across the country, as are the Patriots when it comes to TV across the country. So whether you love them or you hate them, you still tune in to watch them. And that applies to, again, the Patriots and the Cowboys as well. So that these are all arguments that you could make for a handful of teams, which is why it's a fun debate. 855-212-4227. Man, you are blowing up Facebook and Twitter. I love this. Wayne says on Facebook, the Pittsburgh Steelers are America's team. Everywhere you go, Steelers fans and bars. I mean, that is a good qualification. He says, thanks, love the show. Lots of you are saying that it is still the Dallas Cowboys because they're the most valuable franchise in sports. Well, we certainly know that Jerry Jones has $250 million to drop on a yacht. How long was this yacht? It was like 360 feet long with a staff of 20. Anybody have outside the box answers for America's team? Let's see. Edward, the Seattle Seahawks, they play in God's country. Technically, they are the Lord's team. I've never thought of Seattle as God's country. I say Wisconsin is God's country, but that's just me. All right, coming up, we'll take more of your calls. It's a football Friday. We also had the most insane NBA game of the season so far. Do you know the Spurs and the Thunder combined for more than 300 points? 300 plus points. That's redonkulous. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Down two, 130-128. Schroeder giving the ball, gets it into Westbrook out front. Russell with 10. Darts right. Swooping to the wing. Jump passing low to Grant, who grabs it, lays it, and is tied with 5.6 to play. What a setup by Westbrook on the alley-oop for his 21st assist.
Patty Mills will get the ball in bounds in front of the Thunder bench in the deep left corner. Six to shoot. Against Ferguson, Mills will trigger. To Aldridge, left of the key. Takes it to the free throw line. Pull up 16-footer. Good! LaMarcus Aldridge has 49 points.
30 seconds left. Right wing Westbrook to the baseline. Whips it to Adams down the lane. Dunks! Oh, a big-time rim-rocking slam by Kid Kiwi. 25.5 to play. Deadlocked at 141. Westbrook now with 24 assists to go with 24 points.
Down the left-hand lane line, into the paint. It is Grant. Puts up a contested shot. Blocked by Aldridge. Loose ball picked up by Mills. Mills finds the trailer. Bryn Forbes. Bobble the pass. Got it down low to Aldridge, who lays it up. And good. LaMarcus Aldridge has scored 51 points tonight. And the Spurs lead by two. 143-141. One more free throw here for Aldridge, who is 20 of 33 from the field. Free throw. Good. 56 points for Aldridge. And the Spurs can put this one away.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
301 total points. NFL, eat your heart out. The Thunder and the Spurs play into double overtime in San Antonio on Thursday night. It was a game that was on TNT, broadcast nationally, and LaMarcus Aldridge scored a career-high 56, while the Spurs watched Russell Westbrook record a triple-double unlike you have never seen before. Absolutely insane numbers. Even for a game that goes into double overtime, Westbrook, 24 points, 24 assists, and 13 rebounds. Are you kidding me? 24 assists? That's amazing. And he played, listen to this, 50 minutes. 50. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bill Schoening is the play-by-play voice of the Spurs. Matt Pinto on the Thunder Radio Network. And you can only imagine how tired those guys were. Even crazier, the Thunder barely used the bench. Only one guy, Dennis Schroeder, came off the bench for more than 12 minutes. So essentially, they used six guys in their game. This was one that I think we can look back on later in the season and call it one of the most entertaining, but certainly the most insane game of the NBA regular season. And Greg Popovich, by the way, moved into third place all time on the NBA's career wins list.
It was a great game. You know, both teams are filled with character guys who compete their asses off. And those are anybody's games, so we feel fortunate to have gotten it. But it was a great game both ways.
I mean, for Greg Popovich to reiterate that it was a great game and to highlight the character of the guys that were on the court in San Antonio, you know that it's one that will stick with him as well. So that's pretty amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Right now, trending in the United States on Twitter, 76,000 tweets about the Spurs, another 20,000 tweets about LaMarcus Aldridge, and 17,500 tweets about Russell Westbrook. But right there in the middle of all of that, something called Dancing with a Stranger, 35,000 tweets. Is that another reality show? Greg Popovich now has 1,222 victories as a head coach in the NBA. He is third all-time behind the great Don Nelson, 1,335, and Lenny Wilkins. Remember those days with the Cavaliers? Lenny Wilkins, 1,332, and Popovich, of course, is still active. All right, we'll take your calls about America's team. I think a few years ago, you might have been able to make the case that the San Antonio Spurs were America's team. And so it changes, of course. One thing about the Dallas Cowboys that brings us back to them is the earnings power. So the earnings power, the ratings that they get every time they're on TV, and those seeds were planted in the 70s and the 80s, back when there weren't multiple games on various cable platforms. You didn't have Red Zone. You didn't have NFL Network. And my brother, for instance, became a Cowboys fan. Why? Because they were on TV every weekend. And it certainly is about the merchandise sales. It's about the worth of Jerry Jones. And he also owns AT&T Stadium, or is at least a part owner in it. And so they are a team that definitely is benefiting from his business acumen and the fact that they are operating in the second largest state in the U.S. If you're talking about the contiguous 48 states, well, then, of course, Texas is the largest, Alaska being a little larger but doesn't have an NFL team. That would be fun. Can we please get expansion in Alaska? I'm going to volunteer to move there. That would be amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, A-Law Radio. To find me on Twitter, are you taking our poll when you're weighing in about America's team? And I'm getting some really cool answers that Chris is retweeting from our show account. This one says Chicago Cubs. Every stadium they go to, the fans almost outnumber the home teams. I think there is some mass appeal with Chicago. Probably more when they finally were breaking the curse. After 108 years, they win the World Series. I think that now that that's done, they're not nearly as much fun. They're not the lovable losers anymore, though they do have some very recognizable athletes and I think some of the most popular players in Major League Baseball. Let's see. Don agrees with that, hands down, Chicago Cubs. This one comes from the college ranks, the Alabama Crimson Tide. I could make an argument for them for sure. The issue, though, is that the players turn over so quickly that it's hard to get attached to them. You know, they don't have a quarterback who's been in place for a really long time, like a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady or a Phillip Rivers. So in football, a lot of times, to have that stability, to have recognizable faces who stay around, who wear the one jersey, I think that matters a lot. Anybody for the Green Bay Packers? Anybody at all? Maybe before they fired their head coach and had back-to-back losing seasons, you could probably make the case. Aaron Rodgers is one of the faces of the NFL, to be sure. I think they've lost some of their luster, though. The turmoil this year and McCarthy getting fired, that shows that there was trouble in paradise. Bill is listening in Boston. Bill, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good evening, Amy. Long-time listener. First time calling your show. How you doing tonight?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I got to say, it's got to be the Patriots for me. I agree with Dave from Ohio and what he said. And I also agree with, you know, what you said about being America's team. Everyone always has an opinion.
Yes.
You know,
good or bad, there's always an opinion.
That's all right. They hate us because they ain't us. That's all right. I'm good with that. But, you know, and then you also talked about, you know, bandwagon fans. You know, back in 2001, when everybody got behind this team because, you know, a patriotic thing after, you know, such a bad thing happened with the terrorist attacks, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We've been to the big dance 5 times. Eight times we've got 5 rings, you know. And as far as Jerry Jones having all this money and this, that, and the other thing, what the Kraft Group has done down in Foxborough and around the city of Boston is just amazing. He owns everything. He's got his hand in everything. We got two planes that we fly on.
We. I love that you're throwing in the we there, Bill. Have you been on the planes?
I have not been on the planes, but I have been next to the plane.
Oh, there you go. I hope you took a selfie with the plane, Bill.
We got to get you one. I'll send you one. I'll send one to the show.
Hey, let me answer this question for me, Bill. The same things you're saying about the Patriots, could you say those about the Red Sox, or do you believe that the Patriots have more mass appeal than the Red Sox?
The Red Sox are always going to get it, you know, but I'm a Boston sports fan. You know, I've been through there through the trenches when all these teams were down on their luck and weren't making anything happen and just... You know, Red Sox, we have the oldest stadium, you know, in the Major League Baseball. You know, we got Ted Williams, you know, the Babe played there, you know. I mean, actually the Patriots played there at Fenway Park back in the 60s. I mean, it's, you know, Red Sox will always have my heart as well, but Patriots is where it at. And
okay, so you think the Patriots are more America's team than are the Red Sox?
I would say yes. I'm okay. More of a football fan than a baseball fan, so I got to say that.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Bill. I love the accent. It reminds me of home. I don't know if you know, I grew up in Concord, New Hampshire, so it makes me feel like it's a piece of home.
Yeah. You're only about 45 minutes north of me. I'm right in Medford, right outside.
Oh, there you go.
Boston.
Yep, I know the area well. All right, yeah. Bill, good to talk to you. Have a great night.
Amy, thank you. The only thing that's charged up is we're getting charged up for this game.
Of course. I gotcha. I'm getting charged up for it.
Sunday.
Oh, fun. Okay, stay warm. It's going to be frigid.
That's all right. We're New Englanders. We'll make it
that's
happen.
That's right. We're hearty. We do real thanks. Christmas trees. We grill with charcoal, and we do not complain about the cold.
It's all about the ribs.
All right, Bill. Thanks so much for the phone call. Have a good weekend.
Have a great night. Thank you.
That's right. Nobody from New Hampshire is allowed to cook with gas, have a fake Christmas tree, or complain about the cold. Negative Ghost Rider. Aaron says it's the Browns. I don't think you can make the case for the Browns yet for this reason. They haven't won. They've got the longest playoff drought in the NFL. What I was talking about with the Chicago Cubs, they weren't popular until they were challenging for a World Series. Then everybody else in America got on board. If the Cleveland Browns challenge for a playoff spot next year, if they get double figure wins, if they are maybe they're still in the running for the AFC North title, let's say they make the playoffs, they host a postseason game, then you're going to see a lot more people jump on board. The idea, though, is that no one jumps on a bandwagon until it's a winner. Nobody, if you're going to be a bandwagon fan, you're not going to pick a team that's in limbo. You need to see the proof first. So when the Browns snap this playoff drought, because at some point they will, then I believe they will have the cachet and they'll become more of a household conversation. Right now, why do we talk about the Browns? Because of the constant turmoil and turnover and because there's always drama. That does not make for America's team. All right, we're halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.